And I'm so thankful for the Spirit working in our lives. He don't have to show up. Man, He don't have to. But I am so thankful that the Lord meets with us. I'd ask you this morning to turn with me to Romans chapter 5, as that'll be our main passage this morning. Romans 5, if you'll allow me, I'm going to read verses 8 through 21 this morning. And title of the message this morning is Much More in Christ Jesus. And we're going to look at exactly what we have when we're born again. And I'm just so thankful for these scriptures. It tells us not only what we are, but whose we are. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're there, I'd ask you to stand this morning as we reverence the reading of God's Word. We'll start in verse 8 and we'll read to verse 21 of Romans 5. This is probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, here it is. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more then, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, and even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, here it is again, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many, and is not, and not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, here it is again, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, I stand before You so thankful that You love me and that You've given me the privilege to preach Your Word. And if You would, Father, just I ask You to speak, that You would hide me behind the cross where You laid Your life down for me on. And I pray, God, that You would show up. And Lord, this message would impact the saved, the lost, whoever's in this room. Lord, I pray that it would encourage us, that we would see how much more we have in You. And I'm so thankful that You love us. And I'm thankful for Jesus. And it be in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. When we look at these verses, because of Jesus Christ and His birth, His death upon the cross, and His resurrection, the Bible tells me here that there is much more than what God has just shown us right here. a lot of people think, man, if I get saved, I'm okay. That's all I need, or that's all I get. The Bible tells me that that's not all I get. I get much more because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in these verses, it tells us five different statements. The word much more is broad. And I want to look at these and I want to show you exactly what you and I have much more when we're in Christ Jesus. So if you'll look with me in verse number 9 is the first much more. And it starts the verse. Romans 5, 9, it says, much more than being now justified. Number one this morning, the addition. And that word means as if I'd never sinned. I love that. When I looked up the definition of justify, it means I'm declared right. Man, I'm declared right before God. Because of the love that Jesus shown me, I'm justified before God. And I want to look at this verse and kind of ask the question, how can somebody as dirty as a sinner be justified, be made right in the sight of God? And if you'll look at that verse, it says, much more than now, or not much more than, being now justified. Here's the answer. How am I justified? By His blood. You ask, how can I be saved? Well, it's only by the blood of Jesus. It's only by that shed blood of Jesus. And I'm thankful that this verse says that we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You know that as a sinner, the wrath of God is upon you. As somebody who's lost, dying, going to hell, still dead in their trespasses and sins, I'd ask you to look with me in John chapter 3 and look at the end of that chapter if you want to turn. If not, it's on the screen. And I want to show us what the problem is with sin. What is the problem with sin? How can I stand before God as if I'd never sinned? The blood is the only way, because if without the blood, there is no justification. Amen? Without the blood that He laid, He shed, He died for me, I have no justification before God. And it tells me that without the blood, the wrath is upon man. Let's read this verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Without the blood, you know this, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, is what the Bible tells us. And I'm thankful that because of the much more I have in Christ, I'm justified by His blood. The blood was on my hands as a sinner. But I'm thankful that the Bible tells me that He took the sin, the shame, He took everything off of me and laid it upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And because that wrath was on me, Jesus had to take my place. I'm justified by His blood. That wrath was taken care of. It tells me in Isaiah 53, verse number 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. You say, J.D., how can I be justified before God? It's not through anything you could do. It's not through anything I could do. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm justified by His blood. If you want to look back in Romans chapter 5 and look at verse number 1, I'm also justified by the blood, but I'm justified by faith. The only way I can be saved is by faith in Jesus Christ. And it says in verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that blood, I'm thankful that I didn't have to work my way to heaven. Amen? Won't that just fire you up? I can't work enough. I can't do enough. But Jesus came and took care of that bill. And that means that I could never be justified by anything I could do. And you could not be justified for anything you could do. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. And I wrote this down. I could not be justified if I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a head belief. that, hey, man, that guy lived 2,000 years ago. Yeah, he's real. I'm not talking about that belief. I'm talking about what the Bible belief says, that trust, that adhere, that cleave. I'm going to rest. I'm going to lay my life upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Faith is Jesus Christ and nothing else. That's what it is. That's what faith is. It's in Jesus Christ and nothing else. It's not by any works I could do. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter number 3, verse 28, it says that, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Man, ain't that good? At a young age, I've learned in my Christian walk, and I don't know why, I only realized it now. I was blind, I guess, when I was lost. But the works I do never measure up. The me trying to follow the law, man, I'm always going to mess up sometimes. I can never follow that law to a T. I'm not saying I don't try, man. I try, and you try, and we try as born-again believers. We want to please our Lord, but I could never measure up. And that just makes me so much more joyful in the blood of Jesus, because when I mess up, He takes care of my sin. And He washes me over and over and over again in that blood of Jesus. And I'm saved by the blood. I'm saved by faith. I cannot be justified by any of my works or any of my righteousness. The Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The only way I could stand before God as righteous is by faith. Faith that Jesus Christ paid my sin debt, that He was buried, He died, and that He rose again from the dead. That's the only way I can stand before God is justified. Justified by His blood, justified by the faith that He laid His life down for me. Let's look at verse number 10 of Romans chapter 5. Much more, number one, we're justified. Addition number two to your walk with Christ is you're not only justified, but you're reconciled before God. Read the verse with me. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I looked up that word reconciled, and it would mean this: restored relationship. And you know where I'm going with this. When I was dead and lost, and when you were dead and lost, I was an enemy to God. I was separated. I was never enough. But the Bible tells me that through my justification and through this reconciliation, Jesus has saved me and reconciled my relationship with God. The only way you can be reconciled to God is by Jesus Christ. He's the one that came. He's the one that shed. He's the one that took my sin on His shoulders. And that reconciliation, it's like a restored friendship. A restored, that you're back in harmony together. And you can picture, maybe you've had a family member, maybe you've had something going on in your marriage, man, where you were just apart and you couldn't see eye to eye and you had trouble, but then you got back together and you laid your pride down and it's good as it used to be. And that's what the picture is. It's good as it used to be in the Garden of Eden. Man, God set it up perfect. When He made Adam, He didn't make Adam in sin, did He? No. Made Him perfect. Yet we are the ones messed up. The Bible says, by one man, sin entered in the world, and we had to be reconciled before God. I used to be an enemy to God. It says in verse number 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. I was once that enemy to God. I was separate, but the Bible tells me that reconciliation, being reconciled, is to be brought back. I'm brought back as righteous in the sight of Jesus, righteous in the sight of God. And that's what I stand on this morning. I can't stand on anything I've ever laid. I stand on that firm foundation, that chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. A lot of people think that they were just, man, they're born perfect, and it's hard for a lot of people to grasp, but they've messed up and sinned, and I wrote this down. I don't have anything. You may not have anything against God, but if you're lost, He's got something against you. Is that not true? Hey, man, Jesus, he's great. A lot of people follow Him, and man, he was a good guy, it seems like, when I read the Bible. I don't see nothing wrong with Him. That's not the problem. The problem's not your view of Jesus. The problem is the sin that you committed against Jesus. And the problem before I knew Christ was the sin that I committed against Jesus. I had to be reconciled before God. I used to be that enemy, but the Bible tells me I'm reconciled by His death. It says we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved. What does it say? By His life. Friend, this morning Jesus is not dead. I don't live on a dead religion. I don't live on dead anything. I live on my Savior dying on that cross, and He didn't stay there. God, the Bible says God raised Him up from the dead. How did it happen, JD? I don't know, but it happened. And the Bible says the power of God rose Jesus from the grave, and He now sits at the right hand of Father making intercession for me and you. That's because that's an addition. That's what you get when you're saved. You get justification. You get reconciliation before God. Look with me in verse number 15. Let's look at the third addition to your salvation, to your walk with Christ. Addition number 3. Number 1 was justification. Number 2 was reconciliation. But all that is nothing without this third addition, which is the grace of God. Read with me in verse 15. The grace of God, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, here it is, much more the grace of God. Look with me in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, here it is again, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Read with me in verse number 20. Right there in the middle it says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Yes, JD, I'm justified. I'm reconciled. It's because of the grace of God. It tells me that in this verse that grace is a gift. Grace is a gift that God gives me. What does that mean? He didn't have to. When I give my beautiful spouse a gift, it ain't because I have to. And when you give your family a gift, it's not because you're forced to, is it? If it was because you're forced to, it wouldn't be much of a gift. You give it because, man, you love them. You cherish them. You want them to be happy. You want them to be joyful. And that's what Jesus done. He gave me reconciliation and justification because of His grace, that gift, that love. Grace is, and I wrote this down. Somebody had a quote one time, and this is what grace is. If you want a definition of what grace is to you, grace is unconditional love toward a person who does not deserve it. Man, ain't that a good definition? Undeserved, and He still gave it. There was Jesus, when God looks down on me, there is nothing in me apart from Christ that He can look at and say, it's worthy. He's worthy enough to have grace. There's nothing. And I believe the Bible tells me that the grace of God is a gift. And that gift can produce things in your life. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. That once that grace was on me, saved me, washed me in the justification, the reconciliation, and the grace, the gift of God, it gave me things to do. If you look with me in verse number 17, that gift can produce righteousness in your life. I tried to live for Jesus when I was lost and it did not work. Anybody else ever done that? Man, you tried to do your best. You tried to measure up. And you found yourself continually going back to the old man, continually living in the sinful state. But when I got saved and Jesus washed my sins away, He became graceful unto me, and that grace produces righteousness. If you look with me in verse number 17, it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness." That gift, I mean, I wrote this down. Don't think that us working for the Lord is because of you. Don't think me working for the Lord since I've been saved is because of me. Because if God wouldn't have put it in my life, I still wouldn't have done it. Amen? Is that not true? You try to do enough, you try to be good, but if God doesn't give you the grace of righteousness, you wouldn't live righteous. And I believe without the grace of God on my life, I'd still live like a heathen. If He didn't put that inside of me, if He didn't give me that gift, if He didn't come inside and give me the Holy Spirit, there would be no righteousness. God gave me this gift to live a righteous life. I thought about this. Man, I can just picture myself, and I could never meet that standard of righteousness. Thought about that. You know why? It's because I was dead. You know why? You may be in this room lost and you can't do enough for Jesus. You may be just dead. You know what a dead corpse is? Can that corpse do anything on its own? No. That if somebody's died and they're gone, and I'm going to tell you something, they can't get up and move. They can't get up and try. They're dead. And that righteousness that I have in myself is dead. I get that righteousness through the gift of grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. And when I was granted that gift, He gave me the gift of righteousness. I'm not perfect and you're not either, but I'm better than I used to be. I'm further than I used to be, and it's not by me, it's by what Jesus has done on the inside. The gift produces righteousness. If you look with me in verse number 20, that gift also produces an abundance. Look with me in verse number 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded," here it is, "grace did much more abound." Did you know that an abundance can be a bad thing? I thought about that. I looked at the word abundance, and just looking at it myself, I think, man, that's a good word. A lot of people use that when they're talking about good things. But I read this verse, abundance is not a good thing at all times. I want you to look at, I've read a statistic that 1 out of 3 people have a family member that suffers with cancer. You know what cancer is? It's an abundance of too many cells. So that's a bad thing. You know what abundance of termites in your house is? It's a problem. You know what I'm saying? An abundance sometimes is not the best thing. And it's the same thing in this verse. Verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." What does that mean? The law is set in place to show me my sin. And that sin, when I was dead, just abounded and abounded, and there was more and there was more and there was more, and it piled up and it piled up, and it was not a good thing. But I'm thankful that Jesus did not leave me without grace. Because as much as that piled up upon my life, that abundance of grace showed out. Another translation of this verse says, a super abundance of grace. A super abundance of grace. What that means is, no matter what used to be, Jesus' grace can overcome. Don't that just fire you up as a child of God? I'm not perfect. Okay, the superabundance takes care of me. Man, I'm thankful for the grace that is a gift of God. It's an abundance of grace. When I need it the most, that abundance of grace solves all my problems. That means His forgiveness is still available when I mess up. And you know, I just want to make this clear. That way you know what? I'm not preaching go out and do the things of this world and you got grace. If you'll read in Romans 6, that's what the Bible says. You can't live that way. So I want you to know I'm not preaching that. But I'm preaching that when I try to do the right thing and I mess up and I sin, Jesus is still my Lord. He's still my Savior. That gift of grace, His forgiveness is available. His love is available. And it's all because of that undeserved favor that He has to you. And that grace, that gift produces an abundance and it solves my problem. But I want us to look at the source of that grace. Kind of as we land the plane this morning, what is the source of my grace? Look with me in verse number 15. That gift of grace is produced by only one man, Christ Jesus. Read with me in verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, here it is, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. This morning, because of one man, sin entered the world. Adam, because of Adam's sin, the sin entered into the world. I've read this and I've thought over it, and a lot of people think it's not fair that because of Adam we messed up. Well, number one, I'd have done the same thing. Number two, because of one man's sin, one man can take care of it. Does that make sense? Because of one man, God didn't put it on all of us, He put it on Adam. Because the Bible says, because one man sinned, one man can take care of it. And that's what that gift is, that grace that Jesus Christ came and that one man took the penalty of sin on Him. And that's what you get as an addition. Much more being justified, much more being reconciled because of the much more grace in your life. And I want to kind of close with this. My friend, there is much more in Jesus Christ. The world can throw a lot of things. They can make things look great. They can paint it up. We talked about in Sunday school this morning, sin is like a hook. Man, they paint it up. It's got a good-looking worm on it. It's got a good-looking bait or whatever. But on the inside, you know there's something to take you. And that's what sin is. The only thing much more of sin, it leads you to sin, it leads you to death, and it leads you to eternal damnation. That's what sin is. And only one man could pay that price. That man that came had to be perfect. He had to make that law perfect. He had to do everything it said to a T. And I believe that nobody else other than Jesus Christ done that. And so He came, He died, He washed my sins away because of His blood and because of His grace. And because of that, that superabundance of grace has been brought to me. And that world, that sin leads you to death. And you know Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. This morning I want to tell you something, church. Somebody's got to pay the penalty for sin. Sin cannot go unpaid for. And either Jesus is going to take your sin, or you're going to take it forever in a place called hell. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to point you to the Lord. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. In the old life, you can only live for so long. But with Jesus, you can live forever. There's a superabundance in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much this morning that You love us, that You've given us something we did not deserve. And I pray, God, Your will be done in this service. I thank You, Lord, for laying Your life down for me. I pray You'd show up right now. We love You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.